We serve a powerful God, amen? We think this is a powerful city? Man, they've not seen nothing yet. We serve a powerful God. He is God and we are not. And his power dwarfs anything we've ever seen in this great city, in this great nation, amen? And I want to talk about power today, so turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to talk about power. We want it and we need it. We value and respect it and we're fascinated by it. But I really think that we as Americans, we have a love-hate relationship with power. We really do. There's one way in which we hate power. We hate the governmental abuse of power. Our nation was founded with freedom because of the governmental abuse of English power, amen? And so from the very beginning, we divided the powers. Everybody can check and balance each other because we never really trusted too much power in anybody's hands. And we're absolutely right. That's one reason we hate it, because the truth is power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. But we also love it. Amen? We worship it. We worship power. We call it the ultimate aphrodisiac. Power is alluring. It is seductive. Power is sexy. Power is cool. Amen? And so we want power. Who remembers Henry Kissinger? Anybody willing to date themselves that much? Powerful man. How many would agree that he was a very smart guy, intellectually? I'm not saying every decision was smart, but he was a brilliant man. Who would agree with that? Intellectually very smart. Who would also agree that he was extremely handsome? No hands? Did you see the women that he dated? Did you see who he had on his arm in Washington, D.C. in all of those years? Do you remember? Beautiful women. And very homely man. Power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. So we hate it and we love it. Amen? We hate it and we love it. That's why we are intrigued by power brokers. And we're fascinated by the cover of People magazine and power couples, are we not? It's why we love to engage in power trips and power grabs and power plays. And it's also why we love a nice power lunch once in a while, right? Even a power tie occasionally. I don't really know what that is, but I've heard of that, those, right? But you know, it's interesting. What the Lord says in his word is, not all power is created equal. There are different kinds of power. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul in this passage say, the ultimate power is spiritual power. The ultimate power is to be empowered by his spirit in the inner man, the inner woman. For the mind to be reprogrammed, for the thinking to get in sync, amen? To be transformed, for the heart to be set free by the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. For the conscience to be sensitized, for the will to be softened and surrendered to a greater power than ourselves. That is real power. And therefore, we, human beings in general and Christians in particular, are on a particular kind of power quest. And that power quest for this kind of power can only be realized with a power prayer. And so when you get to Ephesians 3, verse 14, which is where we pick up our study of Ephesians today, Paul says Christians are on a power quest, And here is how you pray a power prayer. Notice as we begin in verse 14, what he says basically at the beginning is, if you want to pray a power prayer, you need to know and get close to the right God, amen, to this God. You see that verse 14? For this reason I bow my knees before the Father God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, the Creator God, that according to the riches of his glory, this God, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, the Spirit of this God, in your inner being. Now, what he says is a power prayer can only be offered to this God. If you want your prayers to be heard, it's got to be this God that you and I get to know, amen, that we experience. He says, and as you get to know this God and offer this prayer, he says in a very powerful way, ask for this stuff. You see verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, what? Through faith. As you get to know this God and offer your power prayer, ask for this stuff. Ask for faith. The greatest prayer you can offer. Ask for faith so that you will be willing to hear this God. You and I will be willing to understand and capable of understanding this God. We will have the awareness and the courage to assent to and say amen to and say yes to this God. We will then have the faith to trust this God. We will then have the faith to obey this God. Amen? So he says, as you get to know this God and offer your power prayer, he says very powerfully, ask for this stuff. Pray for faith. For faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. As you pray for this stuff, pray for faith and pray for love. Pray that faith in this God will produce more and more love in the pastor's heart and in your heart, in our hearts, amen? Pray for that love. That's a power prayer. Faith, love, amen? That's a power prayer. You might have strength, power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. Pray that you'll know the love of Christ, the greatest love of all. You know its height, its breadth, its length, every aspect of this love, its depth, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says, when you pray your power prayer, don't pray tiny, don't pray little, don't pray puny, amen? You pray a power prayer, let me know faith, let me know love, let me know the love of Christ, let God's fullness fill me. Those are big prayers, amen? Power prayer. He says, as you get to know this God and ask for this stuff, he says, make sure you give him the right recognition. Amen? Offer the right applause. Now, to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we can all ask or think according to the power at work within us. Give this one, as you ask for this stuff, the right credit, the right applause. His power is unlimited. That's what omnipotence is. Amen? And to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And his glory is forever. His power is unlimited. His glory is the greatest. And his glory lasts forever. And we will be experiencing that power, grace, love, and glory forever and ever. He says, this is how his people go on a power quest and offer a power prayer, amen, to this God, knowing him for this stuff, The stuff that matters, that changes lives, that changes the world, and brings glory to Him because of His omnipotence and His glory. That's this passage. I've broken it down a little more because I want to focus a little bit on some of these specific characteristics of this power prayer. Amen? And notice first, we're going to offer this power prayer. We just said it in general. We're going to have to offer it to the right. We have to offer it for the right reasons. There's a reason to offer this prayer. And it has to be the right reason if the power prayer is going to be effective. You see, he says, for this reason, verse 14, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He says, for this reason, offer the power prayer. And of course, what reason is that? It's because God has done for me and for you in Jesus Christ what we could never, ever do for ourselves. He's given us grace. We could have never earned it if we had 100 lifetimes. He has given us grace. In that grace, He has granted us an amazing destiny. Amen? So for this reason, because He's given us grace and granted us an amazing destiny, pray the power prayer. He's kept His promises in the past. He'll keep His promises in the future. He never fails us. You see, chapter 1, where we had a series earlier, offer the power prayer because He's given us grace. He's granted us an amazing destiny. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He what? Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glory in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. For this reason, offer the power prayer in your power request, because God has given us grace and a destiny that we could have never earned on our own. Amen. And He kept all of those promises. Never let one go unkept. Amen? So He said, pray the prayer. Offer the power prayer. Amen? Also, He's raised us from the dead. He's given us a destiny, but He's given us new life. He's raised us from the dead. Look at chapter 2. All you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. We were the living dead. Remember that? Remember this chapter 2, our little series there was called God Loves Zombies 2. He looked at us before we knew Christ and He said, I see dead people. Remember? And He loved us in our deadness. So offer your power prayer to the one who raised you from the dead. Amen? Offer the prayer. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all had once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, like the rest. But God, two of the greatest words in the Bible. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He raised us from the dead. By grace you've been saved. He raised us with Christ, seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For this reason, we pray the power prayer. He had the power to forgive us, choose us, He had the power to predestine us, to lavish us with grace, to reconcile us, to raise us from the dead, to raise us up with Christ. He had all that power. You think he has the power to strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner person? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely. Then we ended last time with, for this reason, because God has reconciled Jew and Gentile. God has brought peace to people's hearts that we in the world can never do. We can't do it. Science can't do it. Education can't do it. Government can't do it. The UN can't do it. Science and technology can't do it. Only God can take hostile men and women, whether it's individually, it's nationally, it's ethnically, it's racially. Only God can change those hearts and replace those hearts that have active hostility with shalom, active goodwill. Only God can do that. Only the gospel can do that. Amen. So we read in verse 7, of this gospel, chapter 3, verse 7, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me in the working of his power. Paul says to me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. For this reason, pray the prayer. And to bring to light for everyone that is what is the plan of God, the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God not only reconciled Jew and Gentile, brought the world together in Christ, did the greatest miracle of all. He also gave wisdom to the church and power to the church in the middle of spiritual warfare. We talked about that last time. He can give power and wisdom to the church in the middle of spiritual warfare. Pray the power prayer, amen, as we pray for the persecuted church. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you, as Paul writes from prison, by the way, not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. We ended last time saying that God gives confidence and strength to his people in the church who are suffering and are being persecuted. So those little words in verse 14, for this reason, are very profound, are they not? For our destiny, for his grace, for raising us from the dead, for giving us wisdom and power in the conflicts, for using us as ministers of reconciliation, for giving us hope and encouragement in suffering, persecution. He says, go on your power quest as a believer and pray your power prayer every day, expecting me to answer you. Good stuff, amen? Powerful stuff. For this reason, because God has shown his power before, he's never failed, I can trust him. Even at my lowest point, even in my weakest hour, when I need power the most, I can trust him. Amen? Trust him. I have a beautiful wife, Sandy. She looks 29, but she's really 32. And you know, it took me almost 2 years in college when I first met her, by the grace of God, to have her want to marry me. But by God's grace, she eventually came to her senses. She felt deeply, madly in love, even to this day. Even to this day, she is obsessed with me. But you know, this beautiful girl grew up in a home with, thank God, a very loving mom and a very brutal dad. Her dad was an abusive dad. He was a mean alcoholic, an angry drunk, and abused the children Sandy and her dear sister and the two brothers. The two brothers were utterly destroyed by this man, utterly destroyed. And I'm not exaggerating, destroyed. My wife never saw in her mom and dad a loving marriage. They never saw the joy, the blessing, amen, the encouragement, the mutual strength, the caring, the sacrifice. She just saw a loving mom and a very angry and abusive dad. And so she'd never seen a marriage that was filled with love. She'd never seen a marriage that worked. And so I fell in love with her the first day I met her. True. I knew I was going to marry her from the first day, and I was not always humble about that. Took 2 years, but by God's grace. So when she started falling in love with me, many of you know my testimony of my young adult years, which is some very ugly stuff. Thank God for grace. She was understandably a little bit concerned about committing herself to a man with that kind of junk in his background. But as we fell in love and grew in the Lord together, she got to the point where we knew we were to be married, and we were married, and it was wonderful. And then for the first few years of our marriage, as we had our children, I was working crazy, you know, 70, 80-hour weeks, going to graduate school, working a couple jobs. And so at times during holidays, I would drive her to her mom's house, drop her and the children off, and then I would drive back. I'd drive to Pittsburgh from D.C., spend the day, drop them off for a week, and then go back a week later and get them. That was the schedule. But, you know, years later, my beautiful wife Sandy said to me, I never knew this before, she said. She said, you know, all those times you drive us home and you drop us off. She said, you know, for a number of years, I never thought you'd come back for us. Ever. I never thought you'd come back. I thought this would be the time when you no longer wanted me or the kids. And you'd be gone. You know, all those years, I never knew that was a fear she had, because our love was real, amen? But she had this horrific fear. And one of the verses that she drew on and we need to draw on as we pray our power prayer is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As she cried out to God in the midst of this fear that my love would not last and I would no longer be there for them and wouldn't come back to them, she thought of Paul's prayer and his weakness, his thorn in the flesh, which weakened him and frightened him and discombobulated him and robbed him of his peace. And he cried out 3 times to God, deliver me, deliver me. And the Lord said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And years later, our great God delivered my beautiful wife from that fear that our love wouldn't last, that it wasn't real. But it always touches my heart, even today, after all these years, that she went all those years with that fear. Until one day the Lord began to use his power in her weakness to give her hope and strength again. And then she began to have, I guess, the confidence to share that all with me. For this reason, we pray the power prayers, amen, to this God, asking for this stuff, giving him his due. It's his power, amen, his glory. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. And even though our love was true and real and has been all these years, the fears can grow, amen? The past can haunt us. And that's why the Spirit gives us power in the what? In the inner person. Healing of the mind, the memories, the emotions, amen? True power. Glory to God. So when we offer this power prayer, it's for this reason. And one more point for today. This is going to be an interesting time in the Word of God together, is it not? Secondly, obviously, we've already said it, but we'll say it a little differently as we go back to Ephesians 3. We offer this power prayer for this reason, and we offer this power prayer, we direct it to the right person. We offer it for the right reason, we direct it to the right person. Do you see chapter 3, verse 14? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. We direct this power prayer to God the Father, the God who loves us, the God who understands family as well, the God who has his family, humanity, made in his image, and has his church family that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's this God, the Father, from whom what? Every family in heaven and on earth is named. The Creator God. The Creator God. Who has given us in his creation, has made every human being in his image. Every human being alive today is made in the image of God. How many agree with that? Everyone. Saved or lost, knowing Christ or not, every human being is made in the image of God. That image is cracked, amen? It's damaged, it is fractured. But that image is not destroyed. Therefore, God continually pours out his what? As the Creator, his common grace, the just, the unjust, and his special grace, his saving grace. By grace, you are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But that's a beautiful thing. Common grace, special grace. That's why people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are capable of the most extraordinary love and humanitarianism and grace and forgiveness because they're made in the image of this God. That's why sometimes the love and the humanitarianism of those without Christ can even exceed Christians. Because the Christians are not walking with God. And we see that. Everything good that happens in this world, common grace, special grace, is because of this God. We're in his image, and Christ has offered us mercy and grace. Amen? So when he says, I raise this prayer to the God from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, he's saying, I raise this power prayer to the Creator God who loves us all, of whom we all are part of his family as the Creator. We're all his children in that general sense, that common grace sense. And it's important to understand when we say this, it's because he is the Creator, we're made in his image, that human rights, civil rights, inalienable rights actually exist. They come from this God, from Him. If He doesn't exist, not only is this power prayer an impotent prayer, but we, the human race, are living a horrible lie. If our only truth is naturalism, Darwinism, time and chance and natural selection, if that's our only truth, we can never, ever again, ever objectively, credibly, with a straight face, ever, ever again talk about human rights, human dignity, human value, because if this God doesn't exist, they don't exist. You can go to the bank on that. Amen. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We all come from Him. That's why we have dignity and value, and there are inalienable rights. If we don't come from Him, there's only naturalism. There's weak, there's strong. The weak are stupid. The strong win. The strong survive. The strong are the good guys. The weak are the stupid guys. That's the reality. Amen? But thank God He does exist. From whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Glory to God. Paul said that in Acts 17. Turn there for a moment. He wanted to highlight this truth. God the Creator in common grace as well as saving grace. You remember that great passage when he connects with and dialogues with the Greek, Athenian, Epicurean, and Stoic philosophers. And it's an amazing interaction about how to be a winsome, intelligent, loving witness for Christ in this sophisticated, cultured, and barbaric age in which we live. I know those terms are supposed to be contradictory, but unfortunately, in our culture, they're not. Acts 17, verse 22, Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you're very religious. As I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." I preached this passage on Easter, but I want to just touch on it just for a second. He said, "The God you don't know and you even worship as the unknown, I'm going to tell you all about this God. He's the God who made the world," amen? You start right there again. The Creator, everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, He does not live in temples made by man. Doesn't live on the Areopagus. He doesn't live on the Acropolis, amen? Doesn't live in the temples. "Nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself," here's the common grace, "gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." You see that? That's this God. Common grace. Grace for all. Life, breath, everything. "He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth." If we don't all come from this God, then these rights are nothing more than a sick joke. Sick joke. "Having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should" what? "Seek God, perhaps feel their way toward Him, find Him." Go on a God quest, a power quest. Yet He's actually not far from each one of us. "For in Him" what? "We live and move and have our being." Common grace. In Him we live. We have life, we move, we breathe, we interact, we search, we have our being. "As even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring, and indeed the Greek poets said so, and indeed the Greek poets were right. We are His offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man." So that's the common grace. "The times of ignorance God overlooked. Now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed, and of this he's given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. It says, the Creator has given common grace. Here it is. There's also the gospel, special grace. And Jesus Christ is the man, and we raised him from the dead to show you that common grace is real and special grace is real. The gospel is true. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, because they were Platonic, they believed in the soul but not the body in terms of its ultimate goodness. They didn't believe in resurrection. They believed in the soul living on but not the body. Some mocked him. Others said, we'll hear you again about this. Paul went out of their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. Saving grace, amen? Saving grace. So when we pray the power prayer, we go for this reason to this God, because he's the God who answers prayers in common grace for everyone and in special grace for those who know him in Jesus Christ. His common grace is a gift to all. I prayed earlier today about these precious young girls in Iraq. Some Christian, some are Yazidis girls. Many hundreds have been taken by ISIS. They're being abused. But many groups that do not know the Lord at all, have no connection to the gospel, are also fighting to free them, these precious girls, even ransoming them, paying ransoms for them. In an article recently, there was one young Yazidi girl who had been held captive by ISIS for 2 months. She's 14 years old. She said, I was raped 5 to 10 times every day. I can't express what I've been through. I was dead, killed hundreds of times. I knew of many girls that had jumped from a high rock to kill themselves because they could not live with the shame. This young girl has now been ransomed by one of these agencies. She's now free. One of the individuals leading one of these ministries to free these girls is a Canadian. He's Jewish. He's a businessman named Steve Maimon. He's overseen the rescue of more than 120 kidnapped Christian and Yazidi girls in Iraq. They've ransomed 120 girls. He founded the Liberation of Christian and Yazidi Children of Iraq organization a year ago, after jihadists laid siege to Mosul. They've been rescuing Christian and Yazidi girls and women from Iraq, bringing them to Europe, mainly to Germany, for medical and psychological treatment. He's being referred to by many as the Jewish Schindler. The Jewish Schindler. Even as Oskar Schindler, who was a German Gentile, was used by God to rescue Jews during the Holocaust. This Jewish Schindler is being used by God to rescue Christian and Yazidi girls from ISIS. If that's not grace, I don't know what is. Amen? And he's being criticized. Individuals and organizations prominent are criticizing this ministry for one reason and one reason only. You know what it is? They're saying that in giving money to ISIS and freeing these girls, you're funding terrorism. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I think some of these people who are criticizing him are probably some of the people that are willing to give Iran $150 billion to build nuclear weapons and to unleash more terrorist nightmare throughout the world. But I digress. You know his response? You know, Steve Maimon's response to these critics? Just like a businessman who's filled with grace, you know what his response is? Short and sweet. I like short and sweet. My wife's actually short and very sweet. Here's what he says. I'm not going to wait. I have a chance to save these girls who are being raped, burned, and brutalized. I'm not waiting. I have a chance to do some good in the world. The Talmud says, the one who saves a life saves the world. That's his response. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Common grace, God's grace, and also saving grace, special grace. He brings people to know Christ personally and changes them, transforms us. Amen? Look at Isaiah 40 and we'll close now for today. Isaiah 40. We received a wonderful email. Bob Chansey, my dear brother, the opera man, Bob. We love him. One of our former elder chairman. What a great friend and brother. God gave him the passion, the burden, the vision for the Detroit ministry that we've been in for many years now. And we've had, you know, just scores of people go to Detroit. They just got back recently with many other of our ministries all over the world as well. And I'm sharing that email, Bob, that came from Carol. Came to me, and I wanted to share it today. This is from Carol, who's on the ground at the Citadel in Detroit, thanking us for being in Detroit with them, seeing Detroit resurrected by God's grace spiritually, economically, socially, and all the other ways. From Carol in Detroit. Good morning, Bob. Bob Chansey. I wanted to let you know that one of the men you witnessed to on the streets of Detroit came to Citadel Church last Sunday. He gave his life to Christ. And he joined the church. This is so cool. And I agree with that. This is very cool. Thank you so much for all the love and support you and your team from Calvary poured out to our city. God bless you, Carol. Amen. Common grace, special grace. Amen. It all comes from where? This God. This reason, amen? Glory to God. Who compares to this God? Who else can you bring this power quest to, power prayer to? Who compares? Trump? Bloomberg? The Clintons? The Bushes? Reagan? President Obama? Who compares? Who's got the power? The politicians have the power. The educators, the scientists, the technology people, the business people, the religious people, the UN. Who is going to compare to this God when we bring this power prayer? And the answer, no one and no thing. Chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 25. You know, God wants to know himself. Who's being compared to me? Amen? He takes it personally. Even while he continues to pour out his grace and love on us, who minimize him and so often marginalize him, blaspheme him, disrespect him, ignore him. Even as he continues to pour out his grace and love, you know, he takes it personally when some of us say he doesn't exist. You know, He takes it personally when some of us say, it's not his power we need, it's this power. It's this guy, it's this woman that we need to save us, to fix us. Thank God he keeps showing grace even though he takes it personal. Verse 25, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Who are you going to compare me to? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, because he is strong in power. Not one of them is missing. Let's talk about the Creator, amen? By the way, if we're not going to talk about the Creator, don't ever again ever open your mouth to talk about the Savior. Don't ever do it again. If there's no Creator, there's no Savior. So let's not be intimidated in this sophisticated, educated, so-called world that we can't talk about the Creator and the creation. If we give that up, give up the cross, give up redemption, give up Christ. Because there's no logic or reason to a Savior without a Creator. Because if there's no Creator, there's only Darwin, time and chance, naturalism, and natural selection. Amen? So the next time we're intimidated about talking about the Creator, let's remember we just can't give half of it away. Amen? Other than that, I have no opinion. Lift up your eyes and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, because he's strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my right is disregarded by my God? You think we're going to hide from him? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him or her who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So let's bring our power prayers in the midst of our power quests, amen? Let's do it for the right reason. Let's make sure we bring it to the right person. And then pray away, amen? In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's power questing and power praying people said, thank you, Lord, for your amazing word, your grace, your spirit, our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the creation, for common grace, for special grace. Touch that man or woman even today, here by divine appointment, still without Christ today, knowing common grace, but not yet knowing special grace. May this be the day they repent, as we all must do, ask your forgiveness and put faith in Jesus Christ. May this be the day of salvation. And then, Lord, as you use us as your witnesses, may we cast our care upon you because you care for us. You've never failed us before. You've never failed to keep a promise or to love your children, Abba, Father. So hear our prayer. We promise by your grace to pray for the right reasons. And we promise by your grace never to pray to an idol instead of praying to you. Never trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in you. Give us peace now that passes understanding, knowing you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. To you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for now and forevermore. In your wonderful name, amen.